So on this Shabbat, because this is actually a Shabbat as well as the first day of Sukkot, I'm kind of combining the two today. Now, last night we didn't live stream the service, but we did get to record the message. So for those who were not here last night, the message was recorded. We lost the first minute or two from technical difficulties, but you'll be easily catch right on up. Don't worry about it. Don't go running to it now, but listen and enjoy this message, because although it's related to last night, it's not really a part one, part two, but it is in regards to Sukkot. Because when we read the verses assigned to Sukkot this week, which are Leviticus 22, 26 through 23, 44, and Numbers 29, 12 through 16, with the Haftorah portion of Zechariah 14, 1 through 21. And then we look at the commentaries on them. They all seem to want to concentrate on one thing. They all want to concentrate on the sacrifices that are called for. I mean, that's what we look at when we read them. Everyone looks at the how, the where, the what to sacrifice, the when to sacrifice. But there was one verse that jumped down at me that the Ruach drew me to, and I believe it was it's a central idea behind Sukkot. Remember during the message for Rosh Hashanah, I reviewed the prophetic meanings of each of the feasts of Adonai. And maybe you'll remember that Sukkot was the prophetic time that will be with Adonai forever and that will be able to dwell in his presence forever. Now, currently, Sukkot is a remembrance of when the people dwelled in booths after they departed Egypt and before they got to the Promised Land. But it's also a prophetic telling of what eternity will be like when we're dwelling with him, when he's on the throne. By concentrating on the sacrifices, and hey, I agree, the sacrifices are certainly very important. They are the way that we get to stay in his presence. But I want to look a little bit more at the end of the 22nd chapter of Leviticus, which tells us the why we do them. Because the why we sacrifice is pretty dang important, I think. It's why we should be joyful this time of the year when looking forward to eternity. Now, we know the bulk of Leviticus are the instructions that are given on what and how to act towards Adonai, how to observe the feast days. But we read this at the end of Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, verse 31. Let me get up there. My thing is, all right, we'll try again in a moment. So you are to keep my mitzvot and do them. I am Adonai. You must not profane my holy name, for I will be made holy among Israel. I am Adonai who makes you holy, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Adonai. To be your God seems to be the answer to a lot of questions in our lives. To be your God, in fact, is the answer to everything that we do and everything that he does. He created us. Why? To be our God. He provides a way for us to be cleansed. Why? To be our God. We're to sacrifice. Why? So that he could be our God. We're to act righteously. Why? So that he could be our God. We are to be holy people. Why? Because he is our God. Now, I've read commentaries that called that last verse a plea from Adonai for us to follow his instructions. A plea, as if Adonai is saying, please, just do what I say, and then I can be your God. Please, please, follow me. That is not Adonai. I thought about this verse as a plea. I thought about it as a commandment. I thought about it as an instruction. And I think perhaps as a promise. And you know, I want to lean on it being a promise from God. It says at the end of the verse that he is the one that brought Israel out of Egypt so that he could be our God. Now we know that Egypt is a type for sin. See, even today we look and we say we're out of Egypt, out of that sin. So when we look at the verse from Adonai, what are we as believers should be hearing? Adonai has brought us out of sin by the blood of the Lamb, so that we could be cleansed and placed before him, so that he could be our God. For the unbeliever, that may sound a bit self-serving on Adonai's part. They hear it as, please follow my instructions so that I can be a God to you. But I know and hope that you know that that's not the nature of Adonai. The greatest desire of Adonai is not to be your God. That sounds harsh and strange, doesn't it? The greatest desire of Adonai is not to be your God. The greatest desire of Adonai is that we would accept him so that he would be our protection and provider by him. So that he could provide for us, so that he could protect us. And the only way that he's able to do that is when he's our God. That's his desire, to love on us. His desire is to be with us. His desire is to provide for us, to protect us. The definition of a God is to provide and protect. That's his desire. It's over and above the title we may give him. But his desire is to love and protect us. Therefore, this is more than an instruction or even more than a promise. It's a peek into the future for those of us who run the race to completion and what we can be sure of. Actually, it's even more. It's the why we are. We were created, and we are now still to be his. We are to be the ones who worship him. We are to be the ones who depend upon him. In other words, we were created to be his people. That means each individual, not just the nation as a whole, was created to be one of his people. Each one of you were created to be his, to be one of his people. Our dependence upon him should not be seen as bindings like handcuffs or some kind of restriction. Instead, it's a deliverance from our suffering that would be if we were not with him at all times. He is our protection and he is our provider. He is the umbrella over us that keeps us dry from the evil rains of the world. He is the one who loves us so much that he gave his son to die for us on the tree so that we would be free from the cost of sins of this world. This is the reason that he calls us to be holy, so that we can be with him. That's his desire. Leviticus 11:44 says this, "For I am Adonai your God. Therefore sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. You are not to defile yourself with any kind of creeping thing that moves on the earth. For I am Adonai who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Did you notice Leviticus 11:45 has the same words as Leviticus 22:33? To be your God. Adonai created us with a purpose. The instructions that he gives us are to further that purpose. Or in other words, they're the way that the purpose will be completed. There are many that say that Adonai doesn't need us, but loves us. You know, I kind of believe Adonai does have a need for us. He wouldn't have created something he doesn't have a use for. I believe that. I wonder what the use of mosquitoes are, but he created everything with a purpose. So there's a purpose to a mosquito. I don't know what it is. I'll find out probably at the end of times. Now, I'm not saying that Adonai could not be Adonai without men, but that he has a desire that men fulfill for him. Some may think that that desire, or what that purpose is found in Genesis 2:15. That says, "Then Adonai Elohim took the man and gave him rest in the Garden of Eden in order to cultivate it and watch over it." Some would say man was put in the garden to cultivate it. But the garden was not created for Adonai's sake, and man's purpose was not just to be the gardener. But the real reason for man is found in the next chapter of Genesis. After Adam and Eve ate of the fruit that they weren't supposed to, we read this in Genesis 3:8. "And they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going to and fro in the garden in the wind of the day. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai Elohim in the midst of the tree of the garden." You see, man wasn't placed to be a gardener, but the garden was given to Adam and Eve so they would have something to do. Adonai knew that just like any child with nothing to do, they'd only get in trouble. Anyone with a child knows that to be the case. The purpose of the garden was for man. But then we have still have that question, what's the purpose of man? It was so that Adonai could be with them. Adonai came in the wind of the day. Now, most of the other versions say in the cool of the day to be with Adam and Eve. This was the reason for men, so that Adonai could have fellowship with him. This is what Sukkot will be, complete fellowship with him once the prophecies are fulfilled. Sukkot is that time when men and Adonai are to be in complete fellowship again. This is what the totality of Scripture is all about. We see the first three chapters about the garden and the life in the garden. And then the rest of the book, right through to Revelation, is trying to get back again. Trying to get back to that relationship with him. Now, last night I spoke about the fulfillment of Zechariah 14 and the completion of it at the end of Revelation. And what we see when reading through the scripture is what it'll take to live in perfect fellowship with him. When all of it is said and done, when all of the rest of the prophecies are completed, when the prophecies of Passover, when the prophecies of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first fruits, Shavuot, when these spring feasts are all fulfilled, they are all fulfilled, in fact. And then we get to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, and they're going to be fulfilled. And when they are, then we can see the fulfillment of Sukkot, the time of dwelling with Adonai forever. We can see in Scripture that this is the purpose of men, to be in fellowship with Adonai. Look what James wrote about Abraham's faith and what it did for him. James 2:23. The scripture was fulfilled that says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." That fact that Abraham believed Adonai did not make him a great servant. It didn't make him a great slave. It made him a friend of Adonai's, a friend of God's. It allowed him to be in relationship with him, not just for then, but forever. For Abraham, he found and lived out his personal Sukkot. He had that relationship with Adonai that we all want and that is promised by Sukkot. Adonai does not want men to just be a servant of God, but to be a friend of his. We're told this in a few places within Scripture, including John 15. Even as Yeshua gives instructions on how to live, there is also a why to follow the instructions. So starting in verse 12 of John 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." This is Yeshua talking. "Just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I am no longer calling you servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. Now I have called you friends, because everything I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Yeshua's desire was to create a way that men can be friends with Adonai. As I've said before, it's the purpose of Scriptures to create a way to bring us before the King who can know no sin. It was out of his love for us and his desire to have a relationship with us that he sent his son Yeshua. John reminds us of this in 1 John 4:9. "The love of God was revealed among us by this, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atonement for our sins." The thing to remember is that although Yeshua died for us and calls us his friend, that doesn't mean that we're pals with him. It doesn't mean that we start treating him like a sleepover buddy. He's still the King. You know, over the last few years, I've watched some movies and documentaries about the Queen of England. And I think the airwaves were just so saturated with it. I just had to watch a few of them. And, you know, they actually become interested, not because of who she was, but because of the environment around her, the people around her. And obviously, the United States doesn't have kings and queens. So it's kind of different what they go through and what they see as what a king and a queen get to live like and what people around them are like. Everyone knows they're the queen. She was the queen. Everyone knew their place around her. Even her own children bowed or curtsied in her presence. Maybe a smaller bow, maybe a smaller curtsy, but still a bow or a curtsy from her own children. Those that she knew almost her whole life always were very mindful of who they were with when they were in her presence. Cousins, older aunts and uncles who were considered royalty and had titles of their own, still bowed and curtsied in her presence. This we're talking about, you know, in the 2020s. It's not an old thing. They knew who a queen was. They were mindful. Even her friends that she had known from a very, very young age. The people who she confided in. The people who she grew up with. They were still mindful of who she is. They were mindful. So we should be mindful when we're with the king. We should be mindful that we're friends with the Most High. But that does not elevate us up to his level. And we certainly are not to drag him down to our level. There's another way to differentiate between the roles of servant and friend of Adonai's. A servant is only in the presence of the king or queen when there's something to do. Otherwise, they were out of the way. Even when they were in the same room, they were unseen as a servant to the queen. They didn't approach, they didn't speak to unless they were spoken to. But a friend is one who talks to and exchanges ideas with the king. Yes, respectively, but they were still able to have some give and take. Still aware of who they're talking with, but still able to dwell with them. Still able to interact. Adonai is also called a friend who is different than the friends that we have known in the past or even in the presence. He is greater in friendship, just as he's greater in all things. Look how he's described as a friend in Proverbs 18. 18:24 of Proverbs says, "A man with many friends may be harmed by them, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." The proverb makes a distinction between two different types of friends. You could even say, you know, the two different kinds of friends. One where there's many of them. We have many friends. And one who is closer than a brother who never leaves. And it says, the one and only who is closer than a brother and never leaves. We know that earthly friends in times of trouble can leave or hurt us, even if it's unintentional. It happens. However, with Adonai as a friend, he has the ability to stay closer than even a brother in times of trouble. Rav Shaul describes the friendship that Adonai has for us in Romans 8. Starting in verse 35, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of our friend that we have in Yeshua and Adonai. The power of his love is greater than all things, both good and bad. We can depend on this one friend to never leave and never hurt us. He is the one we can depend upon, as we are told in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that with confidence we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What will man do to me? His is the love and friendship that will never leave and never forsake us. His is greater than any that you will ever see, any that you will ever experience, or any that you can even dream of on this side of heaven. This is why we are thankful each day, and on Sukkot, which is a reminder to us that his promise is that his friendship will be eternal on that day. This is why we're told in Psalm 100 this, starting in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him, bless his name, for Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100 shows the difference between our friendship towards him and really anyone else, and Adonai's friendship towards us. We can enter the gates with praise and thanks, but that doesn't mean that will always be on our lips, that his praise and thanks will always be on our lips. Not even always in our hearts. People are fickle. They can have best intentions one day, and the mood changes, the tempers flare, and it's all gone. But with Adonai, his love and friendship is always marked with the words like forever, for all generations. There is no fickle in God. It is the truth that we are to be reminded of. He never changes. We're reminded of it both in the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenants. Malachi 3:6, for I am Adonai, I do not change, so you children of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that last scripture for us today, Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. He does not change. His desire to love does not change. His ability to love does not change. His desire to be your friend does not change. He wants to tabernacle with you. You personally. You, if you were the only one left. He wants to tabernacle with you, to live with you, to fulfill Sukkot, that time when the final prophecy is fulfilled and we'll be able to be in his presence, to be his people forever and ever. The really good news is it's never too late, as long as you have breath in your lungs, to make that decision that he's your friend, to make that decision that you want to follow him, to make that decision that you want to be not just in his presence now through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, but you want to be with him before his throne forever. Because there is an alternative. That's not the only choice you have. There's an alternative. You either are in his presence, or what's the opposite of being in? You're out of his presence. What's it like to be out of his presence? It's described in scripture as well. It's wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's pain. It's where the worm who devours the flesh never stops. It's described in scripture, and I believe it's understated. I know a lot of people who think it's overstated. You really want to take that chance? That's the chance you're taking when you don't accept Yeshua as your Messiah. You're taking the chance that hell's not that bad. It's a party place. Really want to take that chance? I can tell you for sure, one party place, heaven, in his presence. Joy, everlasting joy in his presence. I can tell you one place. All of life is this or that, and they're always opposites. So if heaven is everlasting joy in his presence, hell has to be the opposite of that. Everlasting pain and torment outside of his presence. So if you're watching today, and you have never made that decision, or you've not made that decision, or you've walked away from that decision that you had made in the past, if you can still hear me and you're still breathing, you still have time to come to him, because he doesn't change. Just because you changed, just because you made bad decisions in the past, doesn't mean he's changed. Doesn't mean he's allowing you to stay in that decision. He's giving you the opportunity to accept the blood of Messiah, to cleanse you, to pay for all the sins of your past. And all you need do is accept. And then he doesn't even expect you to be perfect right after that. In fact, he never expects you to be perfect, but he expects you to start becoming more like he wants you to be. It's not going to be an overnight thing. People who say, "I was changed as soon as I accepted the Lord," are lying to you. They may have had a little change, but it was still just the beginning. Because no matter where we are on the walk, we are still hopefully changing, going from glory to glory to glory. We're never going to be done with that until the end. That means you can get on that path at any time and start going from glory to glory. You may say, "Rabbi Larry, you're over here. There are others who are way up there." I don't care if you're starting way down there. Glory to 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 glory. It is not too late. All you need do is turn to him and say, "Lord, I've been a sinner. I've turned from you. I've not accepted you in the past. In fact, I might have even cursed you in the past. But I've made a decision to accept you, to accept you in my life, to accept you as my God, and to accept Messiah Yeshua and his blood as the cleansing, so that I can be in your presence. Father, forgive me for the times I've sinned, and help me through your Spirit not to sin again, and that every time I do sin, to turn back to you." It's really just that simple. It's a prayer to start you off on a path. And then as you study His Word and you learn from Him and you hear from Him and you hear messages, then you start changing. Then you'll find, you know what? I used to like that. I don't like that anymore. I used to enjoy that. I want to avoid that now. He used to be my friend. I got to stay away from him. He's a bad influence. These are the kind of things that change you to become more like him. And he wants you to do that. Father, we thank you that your desire is for us to change, to go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory until the end of time. Father, we thank you that you give us the ability to go from glory to glory. And you show us the path to walk. Father, I ask that for those who are raising up their voice in prayer to you today, that you would show them your love and mercies and bring them into your light, into your glory, onto your path. We just praise you and honor you in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen and amen.